back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I'm going to try to really be short tonight because one of the things I've noticed, because it happens every year around this time, the anxiety, maybe not the right word, but the frustration level definitely grows. The discouragement level grows because Friday is our anniversary. And I miss that lady so terribly. You know, it's one thing to miss someone because they've passed. It's another thing to miss them because you're abandoned and they refuse any communications or reconciliation and even deny you your family. But, you know, the irony was today I got a phone call. Oh, I didn't expect this. I got a phone call from Tennessee Child Support. It's kind of like, well, this has never happened and I don't think it ever has. They called and said, you're behind in payments. And it's ironic because I sent them an email because I got a letter, you know, I got yet another letter from the court Friday, Thursday, whatever it was. So I responded again. And, you know, because what's going on really is stupid. It's illogical. And when I talk with this person, it's kind of like, well, you know, you have this massive organization, the state. And one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. They can't point to each other. Well, it's over them, you know, because the court says we don't have jurisdiction. And the woman I talked with today, oh, we don't have jurisdiction. No, the objective here is we have a job. Don't mess with our job. You know, it's the I gave you the link a day or two ago about the Free to Choose series that what's his name? Milton Friedman. you know, he did that. And so many things, you know, he says directly in many, the reason these organizations exist is because, you know, people have their jobs and they don't put their jobs at risk. You're specifically talking about the state. Because they're not any help, but they're a good paycheck. And don't want to get into that. But anyway, my concern, and that's why, because the call happened before I sent my postcard today. So I sent a postcard today to Jim Cross, simply to, because I'm hoping he'll step up to the plate. Because, you know, he has, as the senior member of the family, assuming he's still alive and has a mind, I have no idea. But he should say, okay, how do I love well? How do I love well his daughter, his son-in-law, his grandkids? Turn him over to the state, let the state protect him? That's foolishness. That's serious foolishness. So it's been a... There's a little frustration, discouragement in me because of Friday. And to get this today, the audios, I did, once I realized, oh, okay. So I did start the recording of it and the recording's online. And there was frustration in me. There definitely was frustration in me. But I want to talk to my kids. And my concern is, perhaps even if it's just one of my kids, just one of my kids say, Dad, can we talk? Can I get a hug? Why has Mom denied that to me? Especially George, because George did send me the email, I wish we were family again, is his words. He's the one later asked for a tie, and I sent it. And I think it was the tie. Yeah, it came back. Came back refused. Anyway, there's an absence of love there. and what happens. And that's why I appeal to Jim Cross, because obviously everything I send to my wife or Julia or whatnot is returned. And I do wonder if she has some arrangement to have it happen before she ever sees it. Because what happens when one of my kids says, I wish my dad was here. And I now know that my dad wanted to be here and my mom kept him away. What's going to happen to that kid? How do I prevent the destruction of that kid because of this? And how do I prevent the destruction of my wife because of this? I want to love them well. And I don't know how. I do know I can't crawl in the corner. I do know I have to never give up, to keep fighting. You may remember Paul's words. But one other thing, because I did see this guy, Brian Berletic. I've gained a lot of respect for him. He lives in Thailand. He was a U.S. Marine. And how he got to Thailand, I don't know. But he has apparently wife and kids there. He discusses a lot of stuff on the military. He's been doing that for years. And obviously, more than just Ukraine, but clearly Ukraine has been the focus. And, and the link, I have it because I put it on. Russian Kinzhal missile strikes U.S. Patriot system in Kiev. The fundamental disadvantage West faces. And so he goes over that. He provides a whole lot of information. There's a lot of links to other sources. So a lot of the stuff that I said yesterday, basically he essentially validates it. You know, the big fireball. Well, you've got the video now, because he embedded it in his, and I've got his video there. So it's there. You can see the whole thing. He talks a lot about it, and he talks about some of the fallacies, and I did a little bit of research. The idea that Ukraine said some week or two ago, whatever it was, that they shot down one of the hypersonic missiles, and then they backtracked later saying, well, actually, we won't talk about that anymore. It's like so many other things that have happened. They say something, and then they backtrack and kind of whitewash it. But it was said, so it's out. And you know, it's things from, you know, the ghost of Kiev, the Snake Island things, so many things about the Azov Battalion and the Mariupol steelworks and things of that nature, so many things, and these mass graves and the Bucha massacre and whatnot. And the Russians bombing hospitals and things of that nature, and it's kind of like, well, now that collapses, let's move on. It's over here. A new issue. But we said it, so we can assume those things were true now, can't we? Because we've built up that attitude. But don't look at the facts. No. Don't do that. We've moved on from that issue, so let's not go back there. We know that they did huge bad. See, anyway, but he went through a lot of these things, and I really think he did a very good job of it. I think, you know, better than I did. But I don't know if it was a comment there, but I saw a comment that I thought was hysterical. Because apparently the claim is one of the hypersonic missiles struck a Patriot system and destroyed it. And, you know, Kiev is saying their Patriot systems destroyed these hypersonic missiles. So this guy says, technically, the Patriot missile system did destroy the missile when the missile hit it. it's brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. Because when the missile hits it, yes, the missile gets destroyed. that was a brilliant, brilliant satirical comment. And one of the things that I thought that was so important to consider is the Patriot missile system. It is multiple vehicles, large vehicles, multiple vehicles. One of the vehicles, and I think you can have more than one of these, has this battery of missiles. That's all it is. It's the launch vehicle. And I think you can have multiple. there is the one unit that has, you know, the radar system on top and so forth. And I think I think all the electronics, the command structure is in that one. And I think there's another vehicle that is power, because obviously this thing consumes some power. So it's not, you know, you're not running this on a 9-volt battery. So apparently you have multiple vehicles, at least two, if not three or more. So it's a system. And when Kiev said, yes, one of the Patriot systems was damaged. And you think of that and say, oh yes, it was damaged. A headlight was scratched. I mean, because that's kind of the implication. Oh, it's damaged. Quick repair. You know, we replace the headlight and it works again. Just consider you have the two vehicles, the launch vehicle and the electronics, you know, the radar system. If the hypersonic missile, what's going to be the target? The launch vehicle? Nah, doesn't matter. That's nothing. It's the electronic unit, because the launch vehicle is, you know, full of all these missiles. It's actually relatively cheap, and you know, so what? You have a bunch of missiles. So you have 1,000 missiles. If you don't have that command structure there, having 1,000 missiles doesn't matter. They just sit there and say, "Hey, we're powerful. We're useless, but we're powerful." But if they destroy the command vehicle, then you could say, oh, yes, the system was damaged. We're not going to tell you it's damaged beyond repair, but we just say it's damaged. So it sounds like it's minor. It's propaganda. One of the other things that was mentioned, too, is that apparently the U.S. is stepping up production of Patriot systems. And apparently, I said it may have been Raytheon. I think he said it's Lockheed Martin who makes them, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, as if that makes a difference. You know, they're stepping it up to maybe 500 a year. So if you make 500 missiles a year, and supposedly in, you know, what they said, 2 minutes, they shot off 20 of them. You're not going to do this very often, are you? And from my understanding, the success rate is pretty low. But even at 100%, when you have a production rate of 500 a year, and you use these relatively cheap, again, as I mentioned, $30,000 to $50,000 for the drones that are either made in Iran or a licensed copy made in Russia. You know, those are manufactured at a much higher rate. And all you have to do is take one of those with no armaments whatsoever and just simply fly it over Kiev, have it shot out of the air, and then take another one. So, you know, if you did 500 of those, and if they're $50,000 a piece, you've basically completely wiped out, you know, a year's supply of Patriot missiles. And now they're defenseless. It's really stupid. And I did check, because there was some discussion of, because I talked with Chris about this, and we're not on the same page on this, but I did see, and I've got the photo of, and you know, what a photo. Apparently a few days ago, Vladimir Zelensky went to the Vatican and had a meeting with the Pope. And it wasn't, you know, because I actually even went to Vatican.va, the Vatican's website, and looked for it, and they don't say much. There are some articles on like some of the major news media with some photos and so forth. I don't think the Vatican is saying much about this because it doesn't really put the Vatican in a good light. Because again, the persecution of the Christian community by the government of Ukraine is huge. It is huge. So he shows up at the Vatican. There's a picture of the Pope and Zelensky sitting at a private table, the two of them talking to each other. This is PR. It's not what I would suggest saying, oh, Christ is on your side. I'm sorry, the vicar of Christ, as he calls himself, is not reflecting Christ well. But anyway, I like that idea. Technically, the Patriot missile system did destroy the missile when the missile hit it. Just absolutely brilliant. I did find, you know, and the other issue is I have been troubled, and this maybe amplifies my frustration. I've been troubled because I've had a bug that's been causing me great grief. And I thought I had it fixed. I didn't. And then after over and over, it's like, oh. So maybe I have the solution, and I'm working on that solution, and I didn't get it done today. But that's caused such delay. And that hurts. But there's a wonderful thing that's happened. In the process of saying, okay, something's not right, instead of saying, let's just patch, it's kind of like, all right, let's look at things and let me refine this in ways so I can more clearly see what's going on. Let's take some things that got overly complicated and simplify them. A lot of those things were done. That's something that, you know, most people will say doesn't mean anything to them. But there is something really important to have something simple. Again, as a government contractor, I'd get fired for this. Wait a minute. That's already happened, hasn't it? It's because I've made it too simple. To me, the goal is, so if somebody looks at this later and says, why'd that take so long? That's simple. Why is it? Why did it take so long? That's very simple. That's success. That is success. There's other things that are really simple. The unambiguous 100% love I have for one lady and one lady alone. It's simple. There's no, well, under certain, no. One lady alone. I will not turn from her. This is simple. It's simple and unambiguous. This lady has shown tremendous hate for me. And I would suggest spitting in the face of God. In spite of that, you know, one of the dialogues had even today is our relationship to Christ is we go to Christ and because we're better than that. We know better. We can, you know, you can't do that to us, whatnot. We are foul as can be. We're disgusting. And the Lord says, you know, not even I'm man enough to take that, but I'm God. And for my glory alone, to show the magnificence of my love for my elect, my bride, the foolishness of my bride doesn't matter because it's the grace of God that does. It's not the foolishness of man, including this man. It's the grace of God that matters. And God has shown me his grace tremendously. In spite of my foolishness, in spite of my weakness, in spite of my discouragement, the Lord says, you're mine, and I will never let you go. I've seen that. This weak man embraces that. Shouts it from the rooftops and strives to encourage others whenever I can. And the model he sets before me, he will never leave or forsake me. He calls me to love my wife the same way, Dorothy Jane, my lady, I will never leave or forsake you. You have that promise, and I'm keeping the promise. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.